Another season of pro-life activism is upon us.
Use this as an opportunity to witness and bring out the gospel message of God being a God who has created everyone in his image and how we ought to care to the very best we can for women and their children.
On the feature today, we focus on We Need a Law's flag campaign and talk about how you could sponsor one of these displays in your community. In the news, ARPA is back in court this week in Nova Scotia on the Trinity Western Law School case. The government of Prince Edward Island has capitulated to the abortion lobby. Now that abortions will be done on the island, what should our response be? We've got some more reaction to last month's federal budget and an update on the Booties for Babies campaign.
And now, Lighthouse News. Lighthouse News is a presentation of ARPA, the Association for Reform Political Action. Here's your host, Al Sebring.
ARPA lawyer Andre Schouten is in Nova Scotia this week, presenting arguments before that province's Court of Appeal in the Trinity Western Law School case.
There's been three trials in three different provinces, Ontario, Nova Scotia, and BC, over whether or not law societies in those provinces should allow Trinity Western University law graduates to be able to practice law in their provinces. Those three provinces have said no. And Trinity Western's challenged them and has won in two of those provinces, BC and Nova Scotia. They lost in Ontario. All three of those decisions have been appealed. And this week in the Nova Scotia Court of Appeal, Trinity Western will be defending the excellent judgment from the lower court in that province. We're happy to be able to be there, to be able to participate. And I'll be making arguments probably Friday morning of this week in defense of the equality rights of Christians to be able to be treated equally like any other member of Canadian society.
Schouten says this won't be ARPA's only appearance in the appeal process.
Late last week, we were confirmed that we will be interveners in the BC Court of Appeal. And already a couple months ago, we were confirmed as interveners in the Ontario Court of Appeal. So we are involved in all three courts of appeal in these three provinces.
But ultimately, he says this is a case that will likely end up before the Supreme Court of Canada. The High Court has already set a precedent in a similar case, ruling that graduates from Trinity Western's education program are entitled to be certified as full-fledged teachers. But Schouten says there's no guarantee that precedent will stand.
If it was just the law, I'd say Trinity Western should win hands down. But unfortunately, our Supreme Court is as political as our Parliament is. We've seen them overturn their own decisions countless times in the last few years. They seem happy to just go with the flow, go with the times, and they can make their legal analysis suit the end goal of their decision. So when I look at the makeup of this Supreme Court, particularly because another judge is retiring very soon, so we're going to have a new Trudeau appointee on this court, I'm hopeful that we win on the law, but it's certainly not a slam dunk.
No word on when the Nova Scotia Appeals Court will issue its decision. Also from the Maritimes, the provincial government in PEI announced last week that it's going to start providing abortion services on the island again for the first time in almost 35 years. Right now, women on PEI who want an abortion have to travel to either Moncton or Halifax for the procedure. The government does foot the bill. Abortion activists had launched a lawsuit claiming that the lack of locally available abortion services was a slight on the rights of women. Nicole Dupuis is the executive director of the PEI Right to Life Association. She says that lawsuit was never going to be a slam dunk.
I don't necessarily know that they would not have won that, because I didn't feel after reading the Abortion Access Now document that they actually had firm ground to stand on. I think that this is just the government caving into some angry voices.
But what should the pro-life lobby do now that the decision's been made? Mike Schouten with We Need a Law says the government's decision does still leave the door open to lobby for as many regulations as possible on how the abortions will be done, things like informed consent and parental notification laws, and a rigid and transparent system to track the data associated with all of this.
For example, things like who is requesting an abortion, what are the ages of the women, what are the gestational ages of the children at the time they are aborted, what are the main reasons women are requesting and receiving abortions. This is all information that ought to be not only collected, but made publicly available now that this publicly funded service is going to be happening on the island of PEI.
Another flag display on abortion late last month at the University of the Fraser Valley on BC's Lower Mainland. Organizer Raymond Kobus is with the Campus Life Link group. He says they put up 10,000 pink and blue flags and got some interesting reactions.
A lot of people were surprised that it was such a large display on a university campus. They were kind of curious what it was. The difficulty was that there was a counter-protest happening, and they had signs, so a lot of people were confused to what exactly the display was about. those that did talk to us were very interested to hear what it was about and then what they heard. There were kind of two avenues they'd go down, that either see that it was a pro-life display and not talk, or that they would be conservative-minded or at least agree with the message at some point and discuss. So there were a lot of good discussions and a lot of people that were interested in engaging in discussion, and those are the people that I think highlight the day.
We'll have more on those flag displays coming up on the feature interview later in the program. Some more reaction to last month's federal budget from NDP MP Charlie Angus. You may recall that some time ago, Angus sponsored a private member's motion calling for a pan-Canadian strategy on palliative and end-of-life care. That motion passed the Commons almost unanimously. Even Justin Trudeau voted in favor of it when he was opposition leader. Last week, Charlie Angus issued a press release saying he was surprised the recent budget had zero federal funds earmarked for palliative care. Angus says it's shocking to see the budget completely omit any funding or announcement for such an obvious common-sense solution while Parliament is set to debate a framework for doctor-assisted suicide. He says he'll continue to push to make palliative care a higher priority in the coming months. And finally, an update on the Booties for Babies campaign. It's been going on since November. The goal was to get ARPA supporters across the country to knit or crochet 1,000 baby booties to deliver an expressly pro-life message. Nikki Pennings is helping to coordinate this, and she says the buy-in has been incredible.
We've definitely been overwhelmed, but in a good way, by the response. We asked for 1,000, and we had 1,000, I think, a month after we launched it. Not necessarily in the office, but 1,000 committed, and then they've just kept rolling in since.
So at the end of the day, we could easily end up doubling the goal, 2,000 pairs of booties. ARPA's planning a big media display when they're all collected during the God and Government Conference in May. After that, they'll be delivered to every MP and senator on Parliament Hill. 4 or 5 pairs of booties for every MP and senator. Ultimately, those booties will then be delivered to pregnancy care centers around the country. But the details on how that'll work are still being finalized.
After the MPs have seen them, they've received the note as well as the handwritten notes by the crafters, they would then be donated to crisis pregnancy centers. Those logistics are still being worked out, whether it's the MPs themselves that donate them or whether they come back to ARPA Canada. We haven't sorted that out, in part because we don't know how many there actually are and just how big a project is.
Back with more after this.
Hey Alberta supporters, do you have concerns and questions about the Alberta government's new plans for education and gender policy? Join ARPA Canada as we discuss the latest promotion of radical secular ideologies on all schools in the province. Our presentation will speak to a compassionate Christian response to transgenderism and the possible need for respectful civil disobedience. Join us in Coaldale, Calgary, Pinoca, Nearlandia, or Edmonton from April 11th to 15th. Visit arpacanada.ca for event details.
And we're back on the program. Mike Schutten, the Executive Director of We Need a Law, joins me on the program this week. Mike, welcome.
Thanks, Al. It's good to be here.
It's springtime, and that means it's time to start planning for more of the We Need a Law flag displays. These things have quite a history. Let's go back to the beginning, just for folks who might not be familiar with exactly what this is about. 100,000 flags on Parliament Hill at one point?
That's right, Al. We launched this campaign in October of 2014, and that's when we planted the 100,000 flags right there on Parliament Hill. That was a smashing success. We reached over 100,000 people on social media that day. The MPs from all parties, some of them obviously were encouraged by the fact that we did that, but the MPs from all parties were educated as to just the enormous number of abortions that are occurring every single year in our country.
And that's really what this is about. But you know, I don't want to scare people. 100,000 flags. How many boxes of flags is that? We store those somewhere, right?
Yeah, they're stored. I think right now they're in the Edmonton area because there's some plans in Alberta to set up the 100,000 flag display. But it's in about 40 totes, like 40 tote boxes, a couple feet wide by, you know, a foot deep. So this is a lot of flags, a lot of weight. We carried it most of the way across Canada last year in our life tour because we did the 100,000 flag display in Burlington and then again in Winnipeg. We also have 4 provincial flag displays, and those are kits of 10,000, much more manageable, approximately 4 boxes, comes with the t-shirts and banner, etc. And those kits are ready for people to use, and they can even be used in different variations. Just to give you one example, I attended a flag display last year at Trinity Western University, And what they did was they took 275 flags per day over the course of a five-day school week, and they planted every day another 275. And the message was, again today, another 275 abortions have occurred in our country. So some provinces, they say, you know what, there's approximately 2,800 abortions in our province every year. Let's do 2,800 flags. So, yeah, it's really neat how this has taken off. It's been used over 40 times now in all these different variations. And we just want to encourage people to come up with new ways on how to use them and to use them often and regularly, and putting this message in front of the communities that they're set up in, that this is a problem that we need to deal with in our country. And this is not just something that, you know, a couple of abortions happen every year. This is the equivalent to like 5,000 classrooms of students every single year that lose their lives to abortion.
What kind of reaction do you get when you set up a flag display? I mean, there's people walking by that are going, what the heck are all these pink and blue flags about? But I mean, beyond that, what kind of visceral gut responses do you get? Is it mostly positive or what?
Most of the people who are, I would say, positive about it are just the people that are pro-information. They want to know what the flags are about. They're educated. They go away with some new knowledge as to what's going on, what exactly is the status quo in our country. The people on the negative side is probably where we see the most variety. So we get the traditional, you know, my body, my choice kind of people. We get those who are just, they kind of have an idea what it's about, and they just put their head down and don't want to say a word. They just say, no comment, no, I'm fine, I don't have time today, etc. But then we're starting increasingly to get a reaction from those on the pro-choice side of this pro-censorship type of attitude, where they want to actually outlaw these things. They don't want to let us set them up anywhere because they know they're having an educational impact. One such example was just recently, University of Fraser Valley here in the Lower Mainland of BC, they have a LifeLink group, that's their pro-life club on campus, and they set up the 10,000 in a huge main lawn area right in the middle of a bunch of dorms and some different buildings and so on. So there was a lot of walk-through traffic. And immediately in the morning, some pro-choicers came out and they were saying that we should not be allowed to set this up here. This was triggering people. This was having an emotional impact on women. I've said to many people, this is their last weapon of resort. Like, they only can resort to censoring because they don't have science on their side. They don't have logic on their side. They don't have a credible argument to defend their worldview that supports abortion, supposedly. They can't even articulate why they support it. So they just want to shut us up. So increasingly we're seeing that, and not to scare at all people who are thinking of doing the flag display, but there is a few steps involved, and one of them is that you need to secure a place where you're going to put them. When the folks at UFV put up their flag display, they went through all the proper protocols, procedure, got permission, etc., from the dean and so on. But there have been groups who, you know, think they can just put them wherever and then run into a little bit of trouble. So just make sure that you've properly requested of the town that you live in, or the people who own the building or the site or the lawns where you're setting these up, that you have the proper permission. And then enjoy the day, enjoy the fact that these flags are going to initiate literally hundreds of one-on-one conversations whereby Canadians are becoming more and more educated on this topic.
So if I wanted to set up a flag display, who do I call? How do I go about it? What's the logistics? We'll just close with that.
The point person for the flag display is my assistant, Cassie Connect. So you can email her simply at cassie@weneedalaw.ca. And like I said, the kits are ready to go. We have t-shirts, we have banners, we have pamphlets included in them to hand out at the actual display. We have big, large banner that people can put up, including a whole list of instructions as to what needs to be done and a sample press release so you can send that out to your local media should you want to inform them as to what's going on. It's really user-friendly. We just want to encourage people, especially, like you said off the top, it's springtime now, to consider doing this, either with your youth group at church, maybe even your whole church. Use this as an opportunity to witness and bring out the gospel message of God being a God who has created everyone in His image, and how we ought to care to the very best we can for women and their children. To other pro-life groups who want a tangible action item to do and to encourage their supporters to take part in, this is just a very excellent way to do it, and it's as non-divisive as you can get. I mean, these are pink and blue flags, right? But it's having that impact, and we need more and more people to make use of these flag displays, whether it's the 10,000, the 100,000, or a smaller amount should you desire to do that.
Mike, we're out of time. Thank you very much.
No problem. I'll take care.
This has been Lighthouse News, delivering news and commentaries on today's current events to equip Christians for their task in the public square. Questions or feedback? You can leave us an audio comment by clicking on the answering machine button at the top of the Lighthouse News homepage, or you can send us an email, info@arpacanada.ca. Be sure to join us again next week for another edition of Lighthouse News.